is 131 on February 17th. Call the meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. And with me today, Senator Giesel, Senator Pascvan, and Senator Davis will be joining us shortly. Senator Menard is tied up at another meeting. We have two bills on the agenda for today. First is Senate Bill 23, the Film Production Tax Credit. Next will be Senate Bill 64, Research and Development Tax Credit. And we will take testimony on Senate Bill 23 for 1 hour this time. We do not plan on moving the bill out of the committee today. And by the way, the bill has a further referral to finance, but this will be the initial meeting or hearing on Senate Bill 23. And the presenter, Senator Johnny Ellis, and his staffer, Matt Mosier. Senator Ellis, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. It's good to be with you today. I am joined by my staffer, Matt Mosier, who will help me out with this presentation. I'll be brief in presenting the bill to you. I'm very excited. I get very excited about this subject and all the business opportunities that are available to Alaskans with this new industry. I know there are other folks that want to testify, so I'll get right to the point. And for the record, I'm Johnny Ellis, representing Senate District L. The goals of Senate Bill 23 are pretty simple. We want to continue the amazing growth and success of Alaska's burgeoning film and television production industry. Many people thought it was pie in the sky and it wouldn't really happen, and I'm very proud to say that things are coming along very nicely. And there's some things that we can do to make it even better for Alaskans. We want to offer in this legislation to extend the successful tax credits a signal to our private sector industry that the tax incentives are here to stay for a significant period of time, so that the private sector can have the confidence to invest in some of the things that we need to take this industry to the next level, in particular a soundstage and some other facilities funded by the private sector. There are folks in the business community here in Alaska that are willing, have the resources and are willing to make those investments for a soundstage and other things that the industry needs to grow and prosper. But they really need to know that the tax credits on the production side will be available from the near to midterm or even the long term to make those necessary investments. So simply, Senate Bill 23 would extend the tax credits for 10 years with in 2 5-year increments, with $100 million in additional incentives for the first 5 years and an additional $100 million in incentives for the final 5 years of the extension, not unlike we do for other industries when we want to incentivize private sector work. This is not a speculative venture, Mr. Chairman. If these folks with money to invest and people to hire, if they come here, if they invest here, if they hire Alaskans, hire Alaskan businesses, we will partner with them through this incentive program. It's been successful, and we want to keep that going. By extending the incentives, we would continue to bring new money into our economy, new investment, which is a great thing, keep our businesses busy, put Alaskans to work, diversify our economy. And, Mr. Chairman, if you're like me, you've heard many, many elected officials over the years talk about diversifying the Alaskan economy beyond just commercializing our hydrocarbon resource in this state. And it's very rare indeed that we've been able to find a niche for the state of Alaska where we can actually make investments and grow a brand new industry. And so this is a very exciting opportunity for all of us, because this really is new business, new investment and a new industry in the state of Alaska. We've already seen the benefits of recent multi-million-dollar productions. There were hundreds of Alaskans working as cast and crew in jobs as varied as electricians, carpenters, truck drivers, caterers, security guards, and plumbers. So this isn't just some glamorous side of this industry. It's real blue-collar, down-to-earth, small business opportunities and job opportunities for Alaskans. Businesses large and small, and there are lots of examples in your materials that I won't belabor at this point. But businesses have also been able, across the state, not just in the urban areas, but in rural areas as well, have been able to have some people hired and to work during sort of the off-season. Commercial fishermen that are usually sitting around in the wintertime were able to work on Everybody Loves Whales. I met several of them. They shook my hand on the set. They shook Governor Parnell's hand on the set when he went down and saw the impact that this industry was having. The film tax credit, as many of you know, some of you were here, we passed that original legislation in 2008 And it's, that's, everyone tells us that that's why things have gone to the next level, and we're seeing this influx of jobs and investment. Since their inception in 2008, 15 productions have received tax credits. These 15 productions filmed in Alaska for a total of 910 days and had a total Alaska spend of nearly $15 million. And as of January of this year, there are an additional 28 productions that are pre-qualified with the state of Alaska for Alaska film incentives. And if all of these productions are completed, they have an estimated additional projected Alaska spend of around nearly $84 million. This brings the total projected potential boost to the Alaskan economy since 2008 of nearly $100 million. Very exciting. Workforce development's a big issue. Mr. Chairman, I've had several people say to me, members of the press, well, Senator Ellis, we do not have a fully trained Alaska workforce to take advantage of these film incentives and the growing industry. So why should we be doing this if we don't have a trained workforce? Well, I would say, you know, God bless him, Wally Hickel had the can-do Alaskan spirit. Many of us do as well. And we would say we get the industry going. We get Alaskans on those jobs. We get apprenticeships. We get job training programs. Work with the university in Fairbanks that wants to create a degree program. And we get the Alaskans trained up as this industry moves forward to take those jobs in the future. So just because we don't yet have a trained workforce is no reason not to press ahead and take advantage of these exciting opportunities. Other states' loss is our gain. Many states across the country are bankrupt. They are cutting back on all kinds of services, including their tax incentives for the film industry, because this is a highly competitive operation that we have going here. Other states are getting rid of their tax incentives because they're broke. Alaska is not broke, and we have the resources to partner with these investors and to take things to the next level. Just because Louisiana and New Mexico were some of our major competitors, they're cutting back, and their loss can be our gain. So, Mr. Chairman, those are my opening remarks. I know there will be further work on the technicalities of the bill and committee substitutes and whatever your committee's desire would be, but that's my basic pitch here at the outset, and I'd be happy to turn things over to the other folks that would like to testify.
Thank you very much, Senator Ellis. Questions for the sponsor? Senator Ellis, thank you very much for testifying.
And I will stick with you and help out as things go along.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator. Mr. Moser, did you have anything to back up your boss on?
No, sir. No.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
That was the right answer.
Okay. And we're going to try to take care of the people in the room first before we take testimony from people online, just because we have a one-hour time limit on testimony today. So first, from the administration, Juanetta Ayers and Curtis Thayer from Department of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Ayers and Deputy Commissioner Thayer.
I guess we're here mainly for questions. We do have an overview of the Alaska Film Office to help a better understanding of how it does operate and how it has operated over, or evolved literally over the last 2 years with our most recent film. And I'll turn that over to Juanetta.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I apologize, my presentation isn't up to date for this particular committee presentation, but we wanted to give you an overview of the program. Of course, the statutory authority for the Alaska Film Office outlines five specific actions to take, five responsibilities: to cooperate with the private sector to promote Alaska as a film destination, to provide production assistance, to certify film production internship programs, and to cooperate and co-administer the Alaska Film Production Incentive Program with the Department of Revenue. With regard to private sector collaboration, we have a number of different tactics that we're pursuing. The first off is our film.alaska.gov website, which provides a variety of information, not only on the incentive program, but on filming in Alaska, the process for buying tax credits, also a great deal of information on the resources that are available in state now with regard to crew and other service providers, talent listings, and Alaska locations. We've also worked with a variety of different industry organizations, trade associations, and allied groups to help them engage and find out what the opportunities are for them within the film industry in Alaska. And we've done a lot of outreach activities, making sure that the business community and other folks that could benefit and be engaged with the film industry are aware of what those opportunities are. And our office deals with a variety of different inquiries on a daily basis. The phone rings every day about this program. With regard to promoting Alaska, the film office is engaged in print advertising in a variety of different industry magazines and directories to make sure that the message is out there, that we have not only the incentive program, but just a fabulous location for a variety of different types of productions. Again, the website is a great venue for promoting Alaska, and then we also attend a variety of different trade shows and other events to promote Alaska as a film location, to talk to producers, answer their questions about the program, about filming in Alaska, and there is a great deal of interest. We've recently done some outreach trips, calls on different producers, and developed this program brochure. This gives you an idea of some of the information that's presented in this concise brochure that outlines the incentive program and some of the recent activity that's happening in Alaska. So they have really up-to-date information about what's happening. And this outlines the structure of the incentive program, the credits. And then, again, with providing assistance, this, of course, we don't have a lot of off-the-shelf solutions. We have great venues, people who are eager to work in this industry, but we have to work with the producers to understand their needs, respond to those, and work within local government and also state government to help them find the solutions that they have, whether it's about permitting, whether it's about finding particular vendors or suppliers that they may need. And again, the website is a great resource for those kinds of information. And just working with Alaskan businesses, other community representatives, including CPAs and other professional groups, to help them understand how the tax credit program works. You heard Senator Ellis speak about the issue with workforce development, and you know, no industry springs forward fully formed. This workforce development is a little bit of a chicken and egg discussion, but now we have this initial interest in this new industry and people who are interested in working in it, and understanding that they've already developed some of the skilled trades, and they just need to develop some of the transferable skills about working on movie sets, understanding what the needs of this particular industry are. We have a lot of organizations and that are involved in workforce development looking at what their role can be. This includes the Department of Labor, the university, other private sector efforts for on-the-job training, which I believe you'll hear more about today, and other outreach efforts to just help develop the workforce that will meet the needs of this growing industry. As I mentioned, we co-administer the Film Production Incentive Program. This graphic, which you'll see a different version of this in the Film Office Annual Report, which will be in your inboxes in the next 48 hours or so. But this outlines what the process is for pre-qualifying, going through the production process, then submitting their final application, having that approved, and then that gets advanced to the Department of Revenue, and then a tax certificate is received. That, in turn, they turn around and sell to someone with a corporate tax obligation. The status, you heard perhaps slightly different numbers in Senator Ellis's presentation. We had two productions that were in the queue as this production was being, or as this presentation was being developed, so it sounds like one of them may have been approved in the last little while. But this shows overall that we've had 44 pre-qualifications approved, and the various dollar levels for those pre-qualifications. And then over the life of the program, the last 3 years, where we stand with 14 approved tax credit applications that have been advanced. So the total production value for the pre-qualified applications is about $34.5 million. Those tax credit applications that have been received and approved, about $4.8 million. And again, those numbers are changing virtually on a
include the last two films.
Don't include the last two productions. So you'll see a big jump up in those numbers as the next two productions are approved. This information is available on our website, and the pre-qualifications and the tax applications as they're approved are posted on our website. With regard to staffing and budgeting for the film office, we have 1.5 full-time equivalent positions. We have our development specialist, Dave Worrell, who manages the film office, and Aaron Gora, our administrative assistant. And then there's, as a new program, we've had a lot of activity, focus, and attention on this, and so it's required an additional support from within the Department of Commerce. So Deputy Commissioner Thayer, also Roberta Graham, who's a special assistant to the commissioner, Mark Kelsey, our communications coordinator, and myself have committed a great deal of time over the last year to this program. So with regard to the fiscal note, the original fiscal note on the program, it anticipated operating costs of $275,000 a year. And for this fiscal year, we've had a budget of $283,000. The additional support costs are undetermined. And then the program also has some unallocated overhead costs within our division of about $28,000, so a total cost of about $310,000. And so with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you. Questions of the committee for Deputy Commissioner Thayer or Director Ayers? Seeing none. Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, signed up to testify, Robin Cornfield from NANA Regional Native Corporation. Robin, come forward, please. State your affiliation for the record, please, and welcome.
I'm Robin Cornfield, NANA Development Corporation.
Close.
Close. That's good. I'm here to talk about private sector investment in the Alaska film industry. So good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I am Vice President of Communications and Marketing for NANA Development Corporation, which is the business arm of NANA Regional Corporation. It's owned by 12,500 shareholders from Northwest Alaska. And NANA supports Senate Bill number 23 because this legislation is about helping to create a new industry in Alaska, a new industry that is a renewable resource, making movies. NANA Development's Board of Directors has learned a great deal about the film industry by visiting studios and sound stages, and they've mulled over the risks of investing in the film industry. They support, and NANA Development Corporation supports, expanding the film tax credit incentive. It's good for Alaska, as it will lead to private sector jobs and expand the economy. NANA Development Corporation's investment in Alaska's film industry is a natural. We are an Alaska company focused on creating training opportunities and jobs for our shareholders, most of whom live in Alaska. We also have the expertise necessary to support the industry. NANA is investing in building the infrastructure for a film industry in Alaska, and this expanded tax credit is a key to its success. Last September, we made a multi-million dollar investment to become a partner in Evergreen Films, which is a film company based in Anchorage and also Los Angeles, and they have made a $10 million investment in a studio in Anchorage, and they specialize in 3D films for a general audience. And they are currently filming in Alaska a dino movie about dinosaurs using Alaska as a backdrop for their animated film, real Alaska as a backdrop for the animated. So we have filming in Alaska and animation happening as well. And NANA, in order to support this industry, is creating a new company called Piksik. Piksik is an Inupiaq word, which means to jump up or rebound or spring back. And this name was chosen because our new film services company will be extremely quick and responsive to our film industry clients. It is a company that will provide one-stop shopping for companies making movies in Alaska. NANA already has the expertise in many fields that are necessary for the film industry, from catering to security, transportation, logistics, construction, mobile surveying, and lodging. All fields that are necessary in the film industry, and all fields where NANA has developed business success. One of our companies, WH Pacific, uses light detection and ranging radar technology called LIDAR. And this is a piece of technology that they purchased for the purpose of surveying roads, only to find out that Evergreen Films could make use of it in developing this Dino movie. It's a mobile surveyor. We call it the mobile mapper, and it does surveying faster than the traditional method. Evergreen is using it for the automated production workflow for their upcoming Alaska production of Walking with Dinosaurs in 3D. And the reason I bring it up is that it was a surprise to find out that one of our companies had technology that another one of our companies could take advantage of. And we don't know what else in Alaska we might find out once we get started in this industry. So WH Pacific, a Nana company, is now involved in marketing their newfound film services business to other studios and production companies. It's just one example of the unknown benefits of Alaskans working with the film industry. We are a conservative company, and we spent a long time studying the industry before choosing to invest. In this chart, what we discovered was domestic consumer spending for filmed entertainment has grown year over year over the past decade, including the years 2008 and 2009, which were recession years. And during those years, spending increased. We also analyzed how the industry might grow. And the U.S. accounts for 6% of the world's population and approximately 50% of the consumer dollars spent on filmed entertainment worldwide. But international markets are becoming more important, and they are expected to continue to outpace domestic growth in the near future. Vancouver is one example of the impact a tax incentive and investment in the film industry can have. Starting with a little TV show in 1994 called X-Files, this Canadian city has seen movie production values grow from $400 million to more than $1.2 billion, and the industry has helped create more than 20,000 jobs. Because we believe so strongly in the future of Alaska's film industry, Nana, Evergreen, and other private sector partners have begun investigating the possibility for developing a soundstage in Alaska, in Anchorage. These are renderings of how a soundstage might look. It's nothing fancy to begin with. There are some production offices, and the studio will include a green screen, allowing background scenes to be added to film shot in the space. We feel that investment in the soundstage infrastructure, combined with the extension of the tax credit, will encourage more producers will come to Alaska. Continual productions help provide the on-the-job training that Alaskans need to ensure continued work and growth in the industry. This slide shows a 5-year period from the beginning of creating a film to when it's released out into the global marketplace. Our dinosaur movie here is an example. So for the past 18 months, there's been work on a script and hiring a writer and a screenplay, creating storyboards. Eventually, the film gets greenlit after a year and a half or two, and all the budgets are developed, and the financing is secure, and the pre-sold films to international markets take place, and you finally get a bond ensuring completion. And then it goes into production in the third year. It takes a couple of years to finish all the production, to do the filming, and then ultimately it hits the market. So it takes quite a long period of time. So lengthening the timeline for projects to qualify from 24 to 36 months is included in the legislation before you, and that will help attract more producers to use Alaska as a location. Expanding the dollars allowable under the tax credit from $100 million to $200 million is important as well, as it will allow the industry to grow in Alaska as the infrastructure we create grows. It will allow for private industry jobs and economic growth. Our mission at Nana is to improve the quality of life of our people. Our company will work to train and hire Nana shareholders and other talented Alaskans for the work on these projects. Nana has a simple overall strategy to invest in companies with potential for growth and to look for opportunities that will provide training and jobs for our shareholders. There's a good foundation for a growing film industry here, and it started with the original Alaska Film Production Incentive Program. Future success of the industry is based upon movie producers choosing Alaska over several other states and countries to shoot their films. With an extended tax credit and private investment in needed infrastructure, we hope to entice more producers to Alaska. We think that this is a successful path to help diversify our economy, fostering private sector investments in business development, and creating good-paying jobs that help keep our college graduates working in Alaska. Everybody loves whales, and the economic impact of filming in Alaska this summer is a success Alaska can build on. The numbers are a good story. Alaska resident wages were more than $4 million, and goods and service purchases were above $7.5 million. There are Alaskans in front of and behind the camera. 12,000 hotel rooms were used, and more than 8,000 days of rental cars were purchased. NANA supports this legislation because it will help spur what could be a new industry in Alaska that will create private sector investment and private sector jobs. Deku.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Kornfield. Questions for Ms. Kornfield? And thank you, Robin, for the PowerPoint presentation. And just to alert people online, we have people at the Anchorage LIO and folks off net. We have 11 total, and we're not going to be able to get to all of you today, and I apologize. We're going to take care of people that are here in the room to complete their testimony. If we have two within the hearing room that would like to testify, and from now on, because the PowerPoint presentations are complete, if we can limit your testimony to 5 minutes or less, it would be appreciated by the committee. Next to testify is Deborah Schmidt, Alaska Crew Training. Deborah, if you can come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Deborah Schilt. I'm here representing Alaska Crew Training. And Bryce?
For the record, my name is Bryce Habiger.
Okay, we took care of two then.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. So does that mean we get 10 minutes? our PowerPoint runs, I believe.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't know you had a PowerPoint as well.
Okay. I'll talk as fast as I can talk. I want to apologize first that Drew and Ted and John Voigt aren't here. I know you were all expecting them, but instead you're going to have us. I am Deborah Schilt. I'm a co-founder and program administrator for an educational 501c3 Alaska Crew Training, Inc. Our training program would not exist except for the success of Alaska's Film Incentive Bill. So I'm here today to speak out in support of Senate Bill 23. Joining me today is Bryce Habiger, and he has also worked on Ghost Vision recently in Anchorage, and he's a member of Alaska's Alaska Film Group. My backstory is film school in Canada, then a move to Los Angeles, where I started in the film business on features like Goonies and My Girl. After 20 features, 200 commercials, and 28 years later, I call Alaska home. This past year, I was one of two Alaskan casting directors on Everybody Loves Whales. I helped form the Alaska Film Group. That's Alaska's largest film and video trade association. In 2009, with the passage of Alaska's Film Incentive Bill, we saw a need for training a larger workforce. AFG wasn't interested at that time, so Alaska Crew Training was formed. This illustrates how the production dynamic works. When Alaska's open for the film business, newsflash, Alaska's hot. According to a recent article in the Anchorage Daily News, you would have to watch 24 hours a day of television for 2 weeks straight to see every new episode of Alaska-based reality programming since Deadliest Catch first launched in 2005. Think reality television doesn't spend enough? Well, what about film and television-induced tourism? It's a measurable fact. You can just ask the rangers at Denali Park about their increased visitation to the Into the Wild bus. Last month, Discovery's new series about Alaskan bush pilots became their biggest premiere with over 2.6 million viewers tuning in, more than three times Alaska's population. No other state has more cable shows per capita than Alaska. We've entered our next gold rush, and this one isn't taking resources out of the ground. It's Alaskan-based stories shot here and shown around the world. A recent IMDb search of projects listing Alaska as a shooting location showed 13 pages of projects. 13 pages. What do you think we need to do to get ourselves to 20? An executive producer on Everybody Loves Whales gave me this list when asked what we were lacking. A film office fully engaged with a website that really works for producers. A soundstage, more equipment, more infrastructure, and a larger trained workforce. A trained workforce needs at least two things: a basic understanding of how film production works and on-the-job training. On average, background extras on Whales earned $135 per day. Paul Schweigert worked for 35 days on Whales and earned about $4,500 and his SAG card. Elmer Bukoyuk from Shaktulik earned $2,300 over 21 days. 49 out of 63 speaking roles were cast with Alaskans, earning a combined income of over $160,000. Two Alaskans landed lead roles and earned over $20,000 in 7 weeks. Two others, over $16,000. They came from Chivak, Juneau, Kotzebue. They came from across Alaska. This is not an Anchorage-centric kind of bill. Call sheets tell a crew who's working each day, where, and on what scenes. Alaska crew training is focused on training for feature films, as they hire the most crew. A workforce comes from on-the-job training and basic instruction. That instruction comes from multiple sources. The Alaskans that were hired as crew on Whales breaks down as follows. The working crew on Everybody Loves Whales was a combination from department heads to entry-level positions, depending on film experience. Wages varied from minimum wage to $2,000 a day. Most of these jobs are not in the technical, are in technical or tradesman categories, as you can see up here, not skills typically found in a university curriculum. When Act One formed in 2009, we looked at other film training programs. We looked at Full Sail down in Florida. We looked at mobile training programs like PATS out of Los Angeles. We looked at the university programs combined with state partnerships like New Mexico's model. We also looked at AFI, American Film Institute. They're a leader in advanced film training and respected throughout the industry. I had a personal contact there with an instructor I had worked with, so I spoke with him and other faculty members, and we came up with a grassroots approach that could grow as Alaska's film workforce needs grow. We realized that it was foolish to train workers without projects, so we held off offering classes until we knew there were jobs coming into this state. In 2010, we launched our Production 101 boot camps. To date, we've held 6 boot camps, and nearly 100 people have gone through our programs. In 2011, we'll continue with our boot camps, and we hope to branch beyond Anchorage with online offerings and start our Level 1 and Level 2 courses with instructors from the American Film Institute. We start with entry-level classes, and we build on that foundation and success. But besides training potential workforce, we've also had workshops for ACVB and Native corporations so that they can learn more closely how the film business works. We've had a lot of success stories. Wally Scott, a local Kotzebue boy and Act One student, was hired as a PA on Whales, and now he's studying directing at Columbia University. Jessica Moore, an Act One student from Eagle River, interned on several productions last year. She was a set PA on Ghost Vision, and she's currently working as a PA for a History Channel production. Morgan Willis has her BA in communication from Arizona. She worked on several shoots over the past 2 years as a location scout and casting assistant on Whales, a set PA on Ghost Vision, and now is looking for more experience in Los Angeles. Kyle Hitchcock is an Act One student who worked on Whales as a model builder. He's now finishing up his architecture degree at Montana State. And Karen Casanovas completed an Act One course and went on to jobs on Whales and Ghost Vision. In this illustration of where our workforce might come from, you could see that all of Alaska could be impacted. Act One is focused on training programs that work with each of these market segments. In rural areas, online programs may be the most effective. From over 50 towns and villages across Alaska, 2,471 were extras on Whales. Many went to jobs on Ghost Vision. Others are signing up for more training. In our January class, for instance, 25% of our students had worked on Whales as extras, and now they're interested in finding jobs in the film industry. From Kaktovik to Ketchikan, from Bethel to Barrow, Alaska's got talent. Many Alaskans have migrated out of state for schooling, for jobs, for careers in the business. Will the incentives give them a chance to come home and find work in the industry? We certainly hope so.
Our vision is to continually increase our class offerings. We've started with those entry-level jobs because Alaska has a limited pool of seasoned, experienced workers. Our Level 1 and Level 2 classes are best suited for individuals who already have some on-the-job training and are looking to increase their skill sets. We're gearing up with more classes and crews. Where we're headed is to deepen Alaska's crew base to accommodate two large features at the same time by building on graduates to 500 over the next 3 years. Training can be varied and diverse, but all training programs should point towards growing Alaska's crew base and encouraging local hire. Alaska Crew Training works with anyone and everyone that shares our passion and our scope. To date, we've been recognized by the Alaska Film Office as a training resource for crew, but all Alaskans can continue to work together on building our workforce, and here's just a few ways that you could do that. Please feel free to contact us. I have cards here for any of you that are interested or thinking about a career change. We've got workshops coming up next month and in April. Please feel free to contact us. We'd like to thank you for your attention and open this up to anyone that has further questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Schultz. And I apologize for mispronouncing your name.
That's all right.
Start in Bryce, thank you very much for presenting. And now I think that completes the PowerPoints. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for your presentation, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And that completes public testimony here in Juneau. We do have Joanna Bells from the Department of Revenue here to answer questions if committee members have them. However, we do have 14 people signed up to testify from the Anchorage LIO and OFNET, and again, we are going to be completing testimony on Senate Bill 23 at 2:30. We will continue testimony on Senate Bill 23 next Tuesday at 1:30. So going to the Anchorage LIO, first to testify, Woodruff Laputka, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Very much so. Thank you.
Okay, welcome. If your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Woodruff Laputka. I'm a filmmaker, and I'm also a graduating student here at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. Woodruff Laputka is how you spell my name.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I want to take a moment and speak of the extension of the Alaska Film Tax Incentive Program that this state has implemented into itself since 2008. And some of the opportunity, obviously, has that it's brought about. As a student, particularly as a filmmaker, I studied here at the University of Alaska Anchorage since 2006. Though I am by major a journalism and public communications student, my actual focus and study is in filmmaking. When I found that there were not ample enough program capable of supporting my interest in study, I attended the University of Stirling in Scotland for a year, working with BBC and Channel 4, 4 professionals to gain that experience. However, I did return and am now finishing my BA in a degree in journalism, public comm. But just the same, with a vast interest in the future of Alaska's film industry. This state has such a rich culture in pioneering and starting new frontiers and new worlds of exploration. And the interesting thing about the film industry up here is it acts just the same as anything else. You have pioneers who take the moment to take those pie-in-the-sky ideas, as Senator Ellis did say, and make them reality. And in Alaska in particular, the infrastructure is so new and verging that anybody can contribute and become that pioneer. Well, as a young man and as a graduating student, my interest is to make my career, and particularly in Alaska, and the opportunities are now here. As has been mentioned, plenty of productions came through in the fall, and even more productions are coming through the extent of 2011. And those productions are not all including some of the mass independent material that's coming through, not only foreign, but also that's developing domestically here. As a filmmaker, what I look for in particular is to be able to work in an area that can, one, facilitate my way of living, which pay my bills, live, etc., but also that's conducive with what I require. This is the same kind of mentality that foreign filmmakers look at when they're looking on where they want to go. One thing that I can say as a graduating student and as an independent filmmaker is that in staying in Alaska, one thing that's going to keep me here is the extension of this film tax incentive, really for one main reason, that it will better enhance the opportunities that people like myself and my colleagues here in Alaska have regarding incoming funds, foreign interest, and above all, the establishment of a functioning infrastructure, which we require in order to express not only our art, but also our business. An infrastructure here in Alaska is, as Senator Ellis said, in a burgeoning stage, and we are piecing together the various components that will make this thing function the most. But it operates very similar, and has been mentioned, in similarity to what occurred in Vancouver. Vancouver, 20 years ago, was given a tax incentive, and they didn't know what to do with it. So they created a three-pronged system. One, the incentive, the introductory, a reason to come up here and to produce. Two, an infrastructure, the investment, the idea that we're going to find people to invest with potential investment incentives into an infrastructure so that way we have sound stages, we have companies, we have those kind of things that will invite more foreign interest. As really, that's one of the key components as well, making sure that you can anticipate what the industry outside of your location will want as soon as they come in at your door. And three, work placement, workforce training, apprenticeships, and that means sustainability. There currently is no film program in the University of Alaska system. There is a proposal to have a film program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. However, as I have said, I am a filmmaker and particularly a film student in a non-film related degree program. How did I do that? I created my own programs and had them signed off by my professors and by my department head. But when it came down to the brass tacks and I sought that kind of experience, I had to go elsewhere. That does not mean that Alaska does not have the ability to satisfactorily supply the kind of experience, the work experience, and the education needed in order to establish a film program. That only means that we have not, at that time, we had not really developed the focus to create a program like that. But now the focus is here because the tax incentive is here, and now the infrastructure is building. But in order for these things to become permanent, in order for these things to sustain and become self-fulfilling, they need more time. Foreign investment and foreign interest is really going to be the big bolster in what will decide how the growth and future of this film industry will go. And in order for that to occur, more time is needed in order to ensure that they have an interest in coming here, namely the tax incentive. As a young filmmaker, I have an interest in my career here in Alaska. And I see many people, many faces in this room that I sit in now who are thinking the exact same thing, regardless of our age, regardless of where we come from. And I will say that I am not originally Alaskan. I'm from Florida. And I moved here with the love for Alaska and what Alaska represents to me. And with Alaska filmmaking, it represents the same thing, opportunity and self-fulfillment. We can fulfill our requirements, our needs, in order to make an industry here really like no other. And if we're to model it after places like Vancouver, like other successful markets in the lower 48, Louisiana, New Mexico, we have that opportunity.
Mr. Laputka, can you cut it short, please?
And what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. So here we are at the crossroads of being able to create our future. And the only right way to go right now is to make sure that that incentive is here to stay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And again, we have a load of folks signed up to testify. Again, we're going to have to cut off testimony for today at 2:30, and I apologize. Senator Betty Davis has been here for 45 minutes, so Senator Davis has been listening. And next from the Anchorage LIO.
A familiar name in the movie industry.
Yes. A film star in her own right. D.K. Johnson. Mr. Johnston, if you can come forward and testify, please, and again, try to limit it to 5 minutes, please.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is D.K. Johnston. My last name is spelled J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, and I'm an independent filmmaker here in the state of Alaska. I want to continue a little bit on what Mr. Lapuka was talking about, and that I'm not originally an Alaskan either. I've been a resident of the state since 1997, moved up originally from South Texas, and but here I've gained a really big foothold, and this state's been a very big inspiration for me as a filmmaker. I attended middle school here. I graduated from Service High School here in Anchorage and obtained my bachelor's degree in journalism and public communication in 2006 right here at UAA. But later I wanted to pursue my my passion of filmmaking, and like Woodruff, I also had to leave the state where I attended and obtained my MFA degree in film from the New York Film Academy out of their Los Angeles branch. And so I've gotten to really see how the Hollywood system works, and actually their impression of us up here, and I can tell you from firsthand experience that that they love us up here, and they really are intrigued by the kind of landscapes we have to offer and the talent we have to bring to their personal projects. But on that note, I'd like to talk a little bit about the education. Woodruff did mention a little bit today. It has been an exciting day for the education here in the UA system. Many of us here in the room here in Anchorage did testify to the benefits and kind of the pros and cons of beginning a film production program at UAF. The staff there has been organizing to implement an education into the UA system, which would open doors for many Alaskans to train and work professionally in the film production industry. If this program is successfully added into our state's education, we could help increase the number of trained production crew to compensate for various productions looking to shoot here. With more education, our future filmmakers would be capable of taking on larger roles in productions and could potentially increase local produced motion pictures. Sorry, thank you. But right now, the majority of educated and/or experienced production crew in the state receive their training elsewhere, and those who have returned, like myself, are now doing their best to train others interested in making film production a career. I came back to Anchorage in order to take part in the film industry because today, as we've seen and as we've been talking about today, Hollywood is merely a stepping stone for many productions. The major studios are looking now to shoot their films in states like Alaska, which offer our very nice tax incentive. In order to remain competitive, however, with other states and countries, we do need to establish a professional crew base, and a film degree program in our UA system is an important step in the right direction. While many, including myself, would like to see the program eventually be here at UAA, I believe it is important to get this program started and to send a message to all aspiring filmmakers here in Alaska and to show them that they have a creative outlet for their talents right here in the state. I encourage the extension of the film tax incentive program in hopes that it will encourage branches of the UA system as well as local school districts to increase their education in film and television production. The more education our state can provide in these fields, the more likely we are to encourage other Alaska students to consider continuing their education and training here at home as opposed to going elsewhere. And so I look forward to Alaska's future in this industry, and I hope you all see the benefits that this kind of program will have on our young storytellers. And thank you all for your time today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson, for your concise testimony. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, again, thank you very much for your testimony. Next to testify, Alan Erickson. Alan, if you can state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hello, my name is Alan Erickson with White Box Studios. I'm actually going to let another producer I know, Larry Golden, take my place right now because of the limited amount of time we have.
Okay.
Because I think he has a lot of good stuff to say, okay?
Have at it.
Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon, Larry.
I want to thank you and the committee for teleconferencing this hearing. My name is Larry Golden. My film production company is Aurora Films. I've been making films and television in Alaska for 37 years, so I've witnessed a lot of productions going on, both those produced by my colleagues who reside here and producers from outside of the state coming here. My work has been nominated for 2 National Emmy Awards. I've won many national film festivals, and my work appears on PBS in the national primetime schedule several times. I was the executive producer for what was perhaps the most successful locally financed and produced feature film. That was Spirit of the Wind, which was based on the life of dog musher George Adla. It's since been released as Adla, and it was syndicated nationally and appeared on HBO as well as in international theatrical release. I've worked on big budget commercials, scripted episodic television series and feature films produced by non-resident producers, mostly from California, having their projects produced here in Alaska. So I understand that universe, but I've also worked on many, many locally financed and locally produced shows. I'm here primarily to testify in support of the initiative of the tax incentives and to ask that they be extended and refined. Many people, I think, have and will give you many good reasons for why this is important. I certainly support what I think was the initial goal of these incentives, which was to bring production companies into Alaska from outside of the state. Every dollar they spend here is another dollar that goes into an Alaskan's pocket, and that's a good thing, and those dollars circulate. So I think all of that's wonderful for our filmmaking community and for our overall community and economy. However, I would like to see something more happen through this program, and that is, if at all possible, I hope that you and your staffs can find ways to use the incentive programs to further incentivize or enable local ownership of more media production. When a non-resident production company comes here, they spend money. We love that. It gives people jobs. But if an Alaskan production company owns their production and it's a commercially successful TV series or feature film, the profits from that distribution stay in Alaska. And that is vitally important, I think. Our current situation is somewhat similar to what we faced as a territory, where our vast natural wealth was utilized, and it created jobs. It was utilized by non-resident corporations. They created jobs for Alaskans. That was a good thing. They paid some taxes. That was a good thing. We can argue whether or not they paid enough taxes at a future date. But when we shift to owning and operating our own businesses that utilize our resources, then we keep the profits here. And that is a tenfold, if not a hundredfold, improvement on the current situation where, well, we get our jobs and purchases of hotel rooms and airplane tickets, but the huge profits that these products can create goes someplace else. Now, I know that the state of New Mexico, in their incentive program, have found a means to score points for production companies coming into their state and to adjust the tax benefits in such a way that non-resident companies that use local personnel in key creative positions, I want to emphasize that, key creative positions, not just positions as crew or truck drivers or carpenters, all of which are wonderful jobs, all of which I hope Alaskans get more and more of. But if we had Alaskans operating in key creative positions as directors, as writers, as featured actors, again, that is a much greater benefit to our state. It helps ensure that the stories that are told and the ways they are told are more realistic and more consistent with the real Alaska, which I think is to our benefit if that happens. You really cannot expect a screenwriter in Los Angeles who might visit Alaska for 2 weeks to write a story that's really incisive and empathetic and accurate. As wonderful as the stories may be, and as entertaining as they may be, and as profitable as they may be, you know, their tangential benefits go only so far. If an Alaskan screenwriter is talented enough and capable to write that story, I think it will do us better in the long run. And there is a way that kind of thing can be enhanced through the incentive program. I'm not an attorney. I'm not an economist. I really can't tell you how that would work and how it would fly best. I'm sure you on the committee and your staff can figure that out over the ensuing weeks. Finally, in closing, I just want to add, and this is just parenthetical, in 1976, I proposed to some legislators that the state legislature create a legislative teleconferencing network. That idea was picked up with strong support from then Senator John Sackett and Representative Mike Miller of Juneau. I was hired as the staff to the task force that set up a demonstration project of teleconferences. We held 6 audio teleconferences and I believe 3 video conferences. I was through at that point. Other staff people and other legislators in the ensuing years formalized and regularized this service, And it does my heart good to see it being used for the benefit of people around the state. And again, I want to thank the committee for teleconferencing this and for allowing me to testify. I'm through.
Great. Thank you very much, Larry. Questions from the committee for either Mr. Golden or Mr. Erickson, who let Mr. Golden testify for him? Seeing no questions, thank you both for testifying and the last to testify this afternoon. And again, the committee apologizes. We do have another piece of legislation that we have to take up at 2:30. So we will continue public testimony on Senate Bill 23 next Tuesday, starting at 1:30. Last to testify, James McLean. Mr. McLean, if you can state your affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name is James McLean, and I'm an independent screenwriter living here in Anchorage. I'm a long-term resident of Alaska. I moved up here in 1978, I believe, 76. So I've been here about 35 years. I just want to mention that, and it's one of the points that I was going to raise, is that I've seen an awful lot of films that are allegedly set in Alaska. As an Alaskan screenwriter, I sit there and wince every time I see a deputy sheriff in the county in Alaska, because there is no such thing. There are no deputies, there are no sheriffs, there are no counties. I've been writing screenplays for only about 3 years. Of the six features that I've finished a number of shorts, but of the six features I finished, five of them were set in Alaska. They were based on, not on individual, not on stories that could be done outside of the state, but stories that were in Alaska was an integral part of what's being dealt with. Of the six features I've written, four of them were optioned. Two of them, one of them is in production, and another, the doppelganger principle, is in pre-production. We are using Alaska crews, Alaska actors, Alaska producers, Alaska screenwriter, me, and Alaska money for the most part. Last summer I got a phone call from the lead in the doppelganger principle, Ed Asner, who you probably have heard of. He's won six Emmys, three Golden Globes. He's been nominated a number of times. He's also been declared a Hollywood icon this year. And he called me to tell me that he thought the script was stellar. He loved the main character, Herman James, and he loved Alaska and working with Alaskans. I want to live here, and I want to work here, and I want to write here. I'm told by agents in California and managers in California, well, if you want to be a screenwriter, you got to come to L.A. Well, I quit screenwriting first. This is my home. This is what I want to do, and this is where I'm going to live. The reason why we can do doppelganger, or one of the major reasons why we can do doppelganger here, is because of the incentive program. We couldn't raise the money to do it. It wouldn't happen if we did not have some way to guarantee to our Alaskan investors that we could afford, that they could get some of their money back. It's just not going to happen. It's too speculative for a lot of people. This program is critical to our ability to make films in Alaska. It's critical to my ability to write films in Alaska and about Alaskan residents and Alaska people. This has to, it is just the way we go forward. I can't emphasize enough that this is the future of film in this state. And I think that's the long and short of it. If we want to do films here, we have to help build the infrastructure. We have to have the crews. We have to have the creative people. If you want Alaskan actors, Alaskan crews, you know, Alaskan writers, whatever, then we have to find a way to fund it. And it's that's just the reality of it. So rather than go on and you know, do a cheerleading session for a long time, I just want to thank the committee for helping us, for being here and for listening to us, and I hope that you will go forward and extend the incentive program. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. McLean. Questions for Mr. McLean from the committee? Seeing none, and again, I apologize to the eight other folks that are online, either at the LIO or off-net, that have not been able to testify today. We, again, we'll continue testimony on Senate Bill 23 next Tuesday, and that will start, it'll commence at 1:30. So you're more than welcome to call through off-net or come to the Anchorage LIO again next Tuesday. Again, thank you very much for your patience, and we will take up Senate Bill 23 again next Tuesday. Thank you, Senator Ellis, for sticking around and presenting. Thank you. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 64, Research and Development Tax Credit. By request of the governor, is there somebody from the governor's office to present Senate Bill 64? He is here, Deputy Commissioner Thayer. And I'm sorry, and Senator Menard has joined us about 15 minutes ago. So we have a full committee. Deputy Commissioner Thayer, again.
Again.
No more PowerPoints, though, right? Or is there a PowerPoint?
We won't do that. Even though mine has really neat animation for you.
All right. First of all, on behalf of the administration, thank you for hearing on Senate Bill 64. I have a brief statement. Juanetta Ayers is here also, along with Joanna Bells from the Department of Revenue to help answer questions. And I will get started here. Good afternoon, Senator Egan and members of the Committee of Labor and Commerce. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. For the record, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Innovation can be an expensive and time-intensive enterprise, but it can also spark a chain of investments in a capital equipment, workers, and spillover activities into every economic sector. Senate Bill 64 addresses this by establishing a 20% tax credit for qualified research and development conducted by corporate taxpayers in Alaska. In effect, the research and development tax credit would stimulate private sector investment, entrepreneurial activity, and business expansion in the state, while bringing opportunity and sustaining long-term benefits to our economy. This legislation will allow Alaska corporations to receive a 20% tax credit not to exceed $10 million per taxpayer per year. The research and development activities are for, or the payroll of the employees must take place in Alaska. To qualify for research and development activities must meet the following requirements. The purpose is discovering information technology in nature, the application of which is intended to be useful in the development of new or improved component of the taxpayer, substantiate all the activities constitute a process or experimentation. The experimentation is for qualifying activity or purpose. The bill would impose a reporting requirement on the Department of Revenue so the legislature and the public are aware of the fiscal impact and the economic benefits of the research and development credit to the state. How will the credit work? A percentage of qualified research and development expenditures that exceed the average qualified research and development expenditures for 3 years immediately preceding that year for which the credit is claimed. Unused credits will be carried forward for up to 7 years after the expenditure for which the credit is claimed. In order to prevent a corporate taxpayer from claiming more than one benefit for a single expenditure, the bill would also provide that a credit may not be claimed for expenditures that the corporation deducted in calculating its tax liability or for which it claimed a federal credit that has been apportioned to Alaska. Examples of activities that would qualify for these credits are the development of new and improved product, processes, and formulas, development of prototypes or models, building or improving manufacturing facilities, developing or improving software technologies, development or application for patents. Activities that would not qualify are the exploration activity to assertion of the existence, location, extent, or quality of any ore or mineral deposit, duplication of existing business components, surveys or studies such as market research, advertising, and routine data collection, and research in the social sciences, arts, or humanities would not qualify. This legislation will help in our efforts to spur economic growth in Alaska. In turn, it will be good for our economy and good for the Alaskan families. I thank you for your time today. Juanita Ayers is here, and again, Joanne Bells from the Department of Revenue. I will actually take a back seat so they can help answer, especially with the Department of Revenue.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Ayers.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Juanita Ayers. I'm the Director for the Division of Economic Development. I'll just amplify in a couple of points that have been raised by Deputy Commissioner Thayer and reiterate that this is modeled after an existing federal R&D tax credit that was established in 1981. It's been reauthorized 14 times by Congress and is currently authorized through 2011. And there's a great deal of sentiment on a national level to have it reauthorized permanently. There is a four-part test that's embodied in the Internal Revenue Code to determine what is research and development. And as Deputy Commissioner Thayer touched on some of these parts, but I'll just reiterate that the activity has to be technological in nature. There has to be some level of uncertainty. There has to be a process of experimentation, and it has to be for a permitted purpose, which was referred to. The idea is that there's some level of product or process innovation that is going to lead to some newly commercialized activity or product. One of the things that if you may be hearing on a national level is the concept of the innovation agenda. And recently, the America Competes Act, which was introduced by the Obama administration, made a number of changes with regard to how economic development is addressed on the federal level. But some key components of this are to accelerate the commercialization of new technologies, products, processes, and services. And within EDA, they've established a new Office of Innovation and Entrepreneurship that's to foster innovation in the commercialization of new technologies, products, processes, and services with the goal of promoting productivity and economic growth. And even though Senator Egan didn't want me to do the PowerPoint, no. But one aspect of the innovation agenda, I had a little animation in there, but our goal, as President Obama has characterized it as a nation, is to outbuild, out-innovate, out-educate, and out-hustle the rest of the world so that we would be economic survivors. There are 34 other U.S. states that currently have some form of R&D tax credit or incentive. And the idea here is not that we're trying essentially to compete away from them R&D activity, but to equalize the playing field so that we have this in our toolbox as well. And I think that Deputy Commissioner Thayer explained the details, but really the idea here is that for every $5 in incremental expenditures in research and development activity in Alaska, that $1 would be credited back. So we do believe that there will be an opportunity to see growth in research and development activity that will benefit not only the corporate taxpayer who may be incurring those incremental expenses, but helping to develop a stronger supplier network to do those kinds of activities for all types of Alaskan businesses.
Thank Great. Thank you, Director Ayers. Questions for the director?
Yes.
Senator Pascavant.
If I may, Mr. Chair. You know, like with the last bill that we heard that dealt with tax credits, you know, there were people from a specific industry that are here presenting. You know, are there anyone in the R&D industry that you've received a letter from or did you work with to try to, you know, in other words, I don't see the support in here. And so what I'm trying to do is find out, you know, why are we here, so to speak?
Sure. I can address that in part. The concept for this came out of the Council of Economic Advisors that provide advice to Commissioner Bell and to the Department of Commerce. And they've seen it, a number of the members of that have seen the R&D tax credit in effect in other states and feel that it would be beneficial here in Alaska as well. And there are individual businesses that we feel will benefit, but unfortunately we weren't able to line them up to be here today.
If I may,
sure.
For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division through the Chair, Senator Pascvan. I think the other idea here is, as with the film credit, when it was initially passed, we had very few people from the industry supporting it. And, of course, now, a year and a half or 2 years later, it's shown to work very well. And I know that the governor is interested in diversifying Alaska's economy and not having us being so dependent on the oil and gas taxes that we've seen for years. So I think this is the step, he believes this is the step in the right direction to kind of put ourselves out there, say we're open for business and we're looking for these types of businesses. So hopefully in a few years we'll have, when we sit down and maybe talk about this, we'll have those industries in here saying how great this credit has been for them.
Thank you, Ms. Bales. Further questions, Senator Pascal?
Sure. Again, another distinction is in the bill before, there's a cap on what the incentive is going to be for the whole industry. Here I don't see any cap. You know, I see $10 million a year per business. I'm just trying to, what's the flavor of why, what's the thought process?
Through the Chair, Senator Pascvan, when you're looking at the film credit, the difference there is that there's a process where we have a film office that certifies those expenditures ahead of time, and we have a general idea of what we're looking at, and we're able to do a cap. When you're looking at other types of credits, and including the R&D credit, but other credits that we currently have, it's very difficult to kind of pigeonhole a company and to say, you need to know right off at the beginning of the year what those research and development expenditures are going to be. It's difficult to cap it for, an entire group of corporate income taxpayers. If we cap it and then we find out 6 months after the end of the year, three to 10 months actually when they start filing the returns of, we can only give 10 of you the credit because now we've run out of money. This type of credit doesn't lend itself to a pre-approval process. And that's why there is a difference there.
If I may, again, I'm trying to get an understanding of how much 20% of this currently is and how much you think it 20% might be 3 years from now. So, is this $50 million a year in revenues that we're losing? In other words, and if I could preface that, as I understand now, they get to deduct 100% of their expenditures. And so this is similar to other credits where they, in addition to 100% of the deduction, they get the 20% credit, or is that?
No, through the Chair, Senator Pascvan, if they take the credit, they cannot also take the expenditure. They can't take the expenses when they're calculating net income. So they either get the credit or they can expense. So they don't get both, if that helps. And the other thing, just the way the credit works, and it's difficult, and I understand your concern about identifying revenue, potential revenue decreases, but the idea here is that we're hoping to attract new corporate income taxpayers, those who aren't operating in our state, because the only time that you would get the credit is if your research and development activity actually increases in the state. So if you're someone who's already conducting research and development activity in the state and you increase it now in this year, you will get a credit for 20% of that increase. But if you're someone who's never operated here, obviously your base is going to be zero. So any new research and development that you do, you would get 20% of all of your expenses. So we are hoping to attract new corporate income taxpayers and actually increase our revenue base in the long term from corporations.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chairman Hurd.
you're talking about corporations frequently. Would this also apply to an individual?
Through the chair, Senator Geisel, no, it would not. It would only apply to corporations. Individuals don't pay income tax in Alaska. We don't have an individual income tax. So it would be just for corporations.
Could I follow up? So I'm thinking about Alaska Aerospace Corporation. So they are going to be hopefully attracting some corporations to Alaska to be doing some launches at Kodiak. If those corporations are doing some innovative research, would they qualify for this type of tax credit?
Through the chair, Senator Geisel, they may. I can't say right. I mean, absolutely.
Potentially they would. Okay.
Yeah, if they meet the requirements of the credit and they're conducting that the type of research that qualifies, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Senator Geisel. Sarah Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This just dawned on me that grandfathering in this case is negative, because if you've already had your company going and you don't put any new investments, then you, but if you do, then you qualify like the way you're trying to attract new companies. They can either expense it or get a tax credit, correct? I mean, usually, you know, we think of grandfathering in as a real positive thing, but there's people that are already here in businesses that have, before this came to be, did put an investment and did not get the advantage of taking it of these tax credits. It just kind of dawned on me that, you know, usually we say grandfathering in is a good thing, but this time they're grandfathering in to no benefit.
Well, through the chair, Senator Menard, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way, but they also have been enjoying the federal tax credit, which Alaska does apportion a piece of that. So they do get a portion of that credit on their Alaska corporate income tax return right now, and they are allowed those expenses as well. But again, the intent of this legislation is to increase the activity that's happening right now. We can help partner with those that are already here and then also bring in new industry to Alaska.
Further questions for Senator Baskin?
Sure. You know, I'm still struggling with a business has R&D activities of whatever that might be. They have payrolls that are supporting that. They have rents that they're supporting that. When, you know, it's my assumption then that they are deducting the payrolls, they're deducting the rents, they're deducting, you know, all their costs of that R&D program on their federal income taxes, and then there's a credit component. I mean, that's just typically how I, you know, but so if they can't take the deduction, as you say, they have to only take the expense. I'm struggling with that.
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, the way it would work is, I mean, Alaska, we do start with federal taxable income in the calculation of our tax. They would be required to add those expenses back, and so it would increase their taxable income. They would calculate the tax and then be allowed to take a 20% credit. And it would only be for those expenses upon which they would be allowed the credit. So all of their R&D expenses, the base amount, would be allowed to be deducted. But then any additional expenses. And for some taxpayers, depending upon the tax bracket they're in and how they're operating, it might be more beneficial for them to take the deductions and the federal credit that passes through versus the Alaska credit. I mean, that's something in tax planning they would have to look at. But generally speaking, credits are much more favorable because they're dollar for dollar. And I mean, we have a 9.4% top corporate income tax rate versus a 20% tax credit dollar for dollar. So it would be more beneficial to do that. I mean, I have to be honest, when I look at this, this is a fairly, I mean, what I'd like to say, innocuous credit from the standpoint of we're getting our feet wet here. It's not a huge credit. They're already allowed to take expenses. The incremental increase or decrease, I guess, in Alaska corporate income tax because of this probably would be fairly minimal at first until we can see how this program works.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a real quick question since you're from the Department of Revenue. What other states besides, I know, Wyoming and Alaska still currently do not have a state income tax?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I don't have a complete list. You're right, it would be Wyoming. I mean, as far as an, oh, you have it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I know Nevada doesn't. But, yeah, she has, there's a rank here, individual income tax rank. Well, I guess all the ones with ones.
Yes, the ones with ones. So Alaska, Florida, South Dakota, Washington, and Wyoming are the ones.
Where's Nevada? Okay.
I knew it was under 10.
Nevada.
Okay, just thank you.
Okay.
The state of Washington?
State of Washington.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Senator Giesel.
I thought I heard Deputy Commissioner Thayer say that there was no credit for research and development in mineral and ore industry. Can you tell me why that is? Is that in the federal law or?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, yes. What we've done with this piece of legislation is basically piggyback the qualifications under federal law, and that is stipulated in federal law. And again, we're trying to bring in new industry. So.
Understood. Let me follow up with another industry. What about the petroleum industry and research and development in processing heavy oil? This is an innovative unknown. Would that be included?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, if the under federal law that activity would qualify, it would qualify here as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And we're going to wrap this up at 3 o'clock, and it'll just be held until a future date. However, I understand the department wanted to submit an amendment. Maybe we can get that on the table today so members will have an opportunity to look at it. Director Bales, would you do you know anything about this amendment you're submitting?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and we did work on the concept of this amendment, so we weren't sure that it had actually been offered to you, and so I guess it has.
We'd like you to offer it to us, and then our committee would have time to go over
Absolutely.
And look at it and
okay.
in between now and the next time we meet. So,
yes, we would like to offer
Ms. Bales, if you'd like to present that. I'm sorry, Senator Pasvan.
Again, I'm just still struggling with this whole non-deduction taking Alaska having to take a federal tax return, massage out of it or have them massage out of it deductions that aren't going to be allowed in Alaska, have a recalculation of gross income under the federal and then calculate our Alaska percentage and then apply 20% of this limited number as a credit. Is there any other state?
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, we do this with several other programs as well. For instance, the education tax credit. You are not also allowed to take the contribution deduction if you take the credit. So we start with the federal tax and we add back that contribution amount, and then they're allowed to take the education credit. There are other modifications to federal taxable income that happen as well for differences in federal and state income tax. And so this is not an unusual thing to happen, and most other states do follow the way that Alaska calculates corporate income tax. So it definitely is within the norm.
I guess I'd like to see if there was another state and, you know, what the numbers mean as far as calculating their taxes mm-hmm. as a percentage of the federal number after having the deductions and what you know what it means. You know, I'm just obviously confused and not understanding.
Well, Senator Pasvan, through the chair, I mean, it is in corporate income tax, it's widely used, and that's the way that most states calculate it. It is not uncommon. Most corporations are well aware of it. That's why they have a large tax staff. So, yeah.
In part, I guess it's like, you know, is this promoting more than the or something other than the R&D industry, the tax industry? Is this promoting the attorney's industry more than the R&D industry? And, you know, so it's you know, I think it's a legitimate question.
Right. Well, through the chair, Senator Passman, if you, I mean, based on the fact that we are piggybacking federal, I mean, as far as identifying those research and development expenditures, that needs to be done already on for corporations because they do take advantage of that federal tax credit. So all of that information is readily available to them. And it's truly just a line item on a return where they add it back and then they recalculate it. And it is something that is done frequently, and most taxpayers are set up to deal with these types of anomalies. So,
if we could have
No, in other words, we don't even have the definition. Right.
We don't have the definition.
And if you can present that to us at the next time we bring this piece of legislation up again, Senator Giesel, and then I'd like to get at least get this amendment presented so we'll have time to mull that over as well. Senator Giesel.
Oh, no, I didn't have a question.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I did not.
Okay. Director, can you present your amendment from the department so we'll have an opportunity to...
Okay. The amendment before you, basically what it would do is under... I guess we would start on page 2, line 12. We would replace subsection E. Basically, in its entirety, with the amendment that you have before you. So subsection E, and it has...
So you're saying line 12 through 19?
It would be line 12 through 25.
Okay, so section 1, 2, and 3 are out. The whole that whole subsection there will be out.
Yes, with the paragraphs 1, 2, and 3 would all.
Okay, and so all of E will be out.
Yes, and replaced with the language before you.
Okay. Do members have that language before them? Would somebody like to introduce it, at least accept the amendment so we can discuss it?
For purposes of discussion, I'll move that we, what do we do for that? I move the amendment be accepted by this committee.
That's right.
Somebody has to object.
Senator Davis objected, so for discussion.
And a clarifying question. That's not what I'm reading here. What you just described, what I'm reading on this piece of paper is that you're replacing a word on line 12. And on line 16, you're inserting a sentence. Is that this not must not be accurate?
Right.
You're right. Okay. This is totally different.
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman, I mean, I apologize for that amendment. We weren't aware that it was coming to the committee. We were still working on it. So I do apologize if it's confused everyone.
So.
Yeah.
So we delete all of D. That's, or I'm sorry, all of subsection E.
Yes.
That's what you want to do on page 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this we can throw away.
Well, we would
delete this bottom down here. She said this.
Yeah.
We would delete all of subsection E, including the three paragraphs,
and insert,
what you have in front of you. Yes.
Further discussion on the amendment. We'll go to Lachette, and then we'll bring it back before the committee.
Yeah, I think we need to discuss it more.
More, a lot more, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So further discussion on Senate Bill 64 today, we will be bringing it up at a future meeting, and we'll get a whole bunch of clarifications from the department.
I know you want to stop at 3, Mr. Chairman, but would you tell me why you feel that you have to have this amendment here? We might need to discuss it, but... What's the rationale for saying you want to change?
Right. Through the chair, Senator Davis. The reason for it is we generally do not disclose taxpayer information because it, especially when you're talking about R&D, it can be proprietary information. And then the fact that we had in here language that would identify taxpayers and the level of activity they're doing could be very disconcerting for taxpayers and actually make them not want to participate in this program. And so this is a departure from what we normally do as written, and the language that you have in front of you would protect that confidentiality.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Further questions? Don't worry, you'll get more next time we meet. Thank you very much for presenting, and sorry for the confusion at the end there. However, we will be bringing this up again, and definitely Senate Bill 23 will be coming up next Tuesday at 1:30, and we will continue public testimony on Senate Bill 23, the production tax credits for film. Okay. Anything further to come before the committee? Labor and Commerce is adjourned.